Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more leaves, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and like us on Facebook. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kowski. Today, we're joined by international speaker, author, and television commentator Cal Thomas for a discussion on the fight for life and how to advocate for pro-life causes in our country. Father Zach, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Good to be with you, Joe.
Welcome back.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life you have given us and that you continue to give to us. We ask that you pardon and forgive our own failures, the failure of all peoples to respect and foster all forms of life. We pray that your grace, by your grace, all people would reverence, protect, and promote life at all stages. And we ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, we're going to talk about the pro-life cause with Cal Thomas, who is the speaker of the Interventions Healthcare Annual Gala on June 7th. So he'll be joining us today to talk about that. And then the third segment, we're going to have Brian Gonzalez, who is the Director of Development at Interventions Healthcare, and he's going to join us to talk about the gala and what we can expect. So stick around. We're going to head to a short break, and we will have Cal Thomas on as soon as we get back.
Thank you, Construction Professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kowski, and today we are joined by Cal Thomas.
With a twice-weekly column appearing in hundreds of newspapers, Cal Thomas is one of the most widely read and one of the most highly regarded voices on the American political scene. For 19 years, he was a commentator on Fox News Channel, which included his own show, After Hours, and as a panelist on Fox News Watch. In 2011, Thomas received the William F. Buckley Jr. Award for Media Excellence from the Media Research Center. His latest book is What Works, Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America. It was published in 2014 on the 30th anniversary of his syndicated column.
Cal, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to being with you in Des Moines, one of my favorite places.
Yeah, so the reason you're coming up here is for the Intervisions event, our annual gala with Intervisions, which is on June 7th at the Holiday Inn near the airport from 6:30 to 8:30. And this is one of my, and I'm not saying this because I was on the board last year, it's one of the most well-done events every year. So we are thrilled to have you and another long line of great speakers, Cal. Thanks for joining
us. Well, if you've had a long line of great speakers, having me is just more proof the standards are falling everywhere, but I do appreciate it.
Well, no, I know Brian Gonzalez is excited to have you. And when he said your name, I know my mother's excited to be there. I'm excited to be there. It's going to be a big day for us to have you join us. Well, you are. I want to, before we get into the pro-life cause, which I know you're on the forefront of, you're also an openly Christian journalist in a media culture that is increasingly pushing religion out of the conversation. And that kind of brings two questions to mind for me. How have you personally seen that change throughout your career? And then secondly, given that, how should we as Christians respond to that?
Well, that's a great question. I don't think I've ever been asked that question before.
Wow, these are the hard-hitting questions of the Man Up. You know, the Man Up show does that.
That's great. Well, look, I mean, there's always been hostility towards God from the very beginning. I mean, if you read the first book of Genesis, I mean, Satan was plotting even then to bring down God's creation, our first parents. But I think that in my lifetime, and I think anybody who is 40 years old or older, we've seen virtually everything tried. We've tried Republicans and Democrats, liberals and conservatives. We tried to do something about racism and sexism and so many other problems that confront us. And none of these proposed solutions has worked. So I think this is a wonderful opportunity for people who openly proclaim their faith in Jesus of Nazareth to offer him as not just an alternative, but the way, the truth, and the life, as he said he was. There's a little verse in Romans 8 that most people ignore. It says, Paul writing says, God has built futility into his creation in hope that the creation will turn to him. So I think, you know, whatever your denomination, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to say, look, you tried everything else. How about considering trying God for a change?
When you first got started in the media, you know, whether it was writing or television or radio, was it this hostile towards Christians?
No, because I think we were still living off of the inertia of our parents and grandparents who triumphed, who persisted and prevailed through the Great Depression and World War II. Faith was a major part of that. Most people didn't have very much, but they had each other. Families mostly stuck together. If you wanted drugs, you got it with a legal prescription down at the pharmacy. Neighbors knew neighbors. If you lacked something, your neighbor would give you a cup of sugar or something. Or in my parents, my mother's case, my dad was off of World War II, they had ration books. And if you were a little short 1 month of ration stamps, then your neighbor who might have had one or two extra would share with you, and then you would help her. But none of, we don't even know our neighbors anymore. I mean, we all live existential, individual lives, and it's all about pleasing ourselves. And I think that that has done great damage not only to personal relationships, but also to the feeling of unity that we used to have in this country before we all became hyphenated Americans.
Cal, why are you personally such an advocate for the pro-life cause?
Each generation has its own challenges. Our parents and grandparents' generation had the challenges with the civil rights movement, and before them, the Holocaust, the deliberate attempt by a nation state to wipe out the Jewish people. Prior to that, of course, in the 19th century, there was the issue of slavery. This is our big issue. The issue of life is fundamental. It is the first right guaranteed by the Declaration of Independence, where Thomas Jefferson, who was hardly a fundamentalist Christian, said that our rights are endowed by our Creator. Now, the reason he wrote that is because he wanted to put that right out of the reach of government. And unfortunately, government has intruded in areas where it had no business intruding. I remember something the late Catholic Bishop Fulton J. Sheen said at the 1979 prayer breakfast in Washington. He said that the reason we're in trouble as a nation is that we have exceeded our boundaries. He said, how do you define a football field? And he said, by its boundaries. And he said America was getting in trouble, and this was 1979. Yeah. Imagine what he'd say today, because we had exceeded biblical boundaries and constitutional boundaries. I think bad things happen when you forget God. Both testaments warn against it. And when you think that you're an evolutionary accident, material and energy shaped by pure chance in a random universe with no purpose of life and no destination after you die, eat, drink, and be merry, then that opens you up to all kinds of things. I mean, if you're no more significant than a plant, then why not kill the unborn? Why not do away with the inconvenient? Why not exterminate the elderly? Who is to say if there is no God? And that's where we are now. We've had tens of millions of babies legally exterminated since Roe versus Wade, and now the pressure is on the other end of life to do away with the elderly because they're costing the government too much. All life is interconnected, or it is disconnected. And I think this is the civil rights and moral issue of our time. Now, the really good news about this is we, who are pro-life, don't have to wait on the Supreme Court or the Congress. And that's why places like you are a part of are so critically important. We can save a life. We can tell a woman the truth. We can bring her to faith today. We don't need legislation. We don't need a court ruling. And this is what I'm going to be sharing when I'm there. I think we have to grab our own power. We have to defend life on our own. We start with the small things, and hopefully we'll have a bubble-up morality and not a trickle-down one from Washington.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, we've seen the fruits here firsthand of InterVision's healthcare, and obviously you've been around the country seeing lots of women's choice centers and the difference they can make. And, you know, one of the things that's frustrating on my end is, and this kind of bridges that gap between you being in the media but also being in the front lines, is, you know, every year out in Washington we have a March for Life. But then the March for Our Lives, which is, you know, this kind of grassroots thing on gun control, you know, pops up. And there's lots of these other marches that are popping up that are getting 24-hour news coverage. And we, in the pro-life cause, bring millions of people every single year to Washington, D.C. And maybe get an asterisk at the bottom of the screen when it's going on. What do we need? Do we need to get all, you know, what is it, 175 million pro-life people in the country to show up for CNN to cover it? What do we need to do?
No, I don't think that would matter because, you know, these other things you mentioned fit the secular progressive agenda. So if and this happens at a lot of the events at which I speak. I mean, I don't brag on myself, but I've made a few accomplishments in my life, I think, fairly well known, and the media almost never show up. But if there were two or three liberals there who are pro-choice, as they say, all the cameras and the newspapers would be there. It is a built-in bias. As a friend of mine says, the greatest bias in the media is the power not to cover stories, the power to ignore. And so, you know, these stories, some of these women, I mean, I've spoken at scores and scores of these pro-life groups all across the country. And I hear the stories of women. They tell me their personal stories. Those who have had abortion said if they'd had more information, if they had known more, they would have made a different choice. And those who had their babies through difficult circumstances say, I'm so glad. I would never have gone back. I'm glad I made the right decision. And, you know, one of the things I promote is the sonograms. I think there ought to be mandatory sonograms before any woman has an abortion. And the data on this show that up to 90% of abortion-minded women who see a picture of their own baby make a different choice. So my whole approach is to take from the liberal playbook, we want to empower women. We want to give them more information. You people on the left want to censor them and keep them from access to information. I think that's a good strategy. And more states are taking a look at that, by the way, and some of them have passed legislation, which I would think that the Supreme Court would uphold if it is challenged in court.
We have this case of Alfie Evans over in Britain going on right now. What are your thoughts on that situation?
Well, this mimics, of course, an earlier case, and this is one of the big problems. And we better take a look at what's happening in the UK and also in Canada, because it could happen here as well. The state, in the form of the National Health Service, the NHS, socialized medicine, has accrued to itself a power over life and death, and it is telling the parents of what they can and can't do with their own child. Now, just think about this. This is extraordinary power. The parents at first wanted to take the child, same with the previous one a couple of years ago, away from the NHS, bring to the United States, or in this case,
Italy.
Wanted to take the child to Italy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The Pope is very, very supportive of them in this. And the state has said, no, you can't do that. Basically, we own your child and we'll decide whether the child should live or die based now, and you better get this because it's coming here, based on how expensive, how costly it is to treat the child. And we will decide, not the parents. So this is the state playing God, and it's coming here very quickly if we don't shut it off.
Yeah, so obviously Americans take a lot of cues, for better or for worse, from Europe and Canada. Is this something that we should be concerned about coming to America? What can we do to stop it?
Well, it is indeed. You got to elect the right people. I mean, this is a representative government. As President Trump said the other day, whether you like him or not, he said, send me more Republicans. I mean, if you want more pro-life legislation, you got to send more pro-life people to Washington or to state capitals around the country. If you want judges who rule based on the Constitution and don't make up law like they did in Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton and Planned Parenthood versus Casey, then you have to elect the kind of people who will name the kind of judges who will abide by the Constitution and not make up laws in their own heads. That's the answer in a free society.
You know, it's kind of, I don't know, it's a little scary, but I was at a breakfast a couple weeks ago, and a person running for our governorship here in Iowa, and this is in front of a nonpartisan Rotary Club, stood up and said that how terrible it was that our state last year defunded Planned Parenthood. And he's out there just talking about how terrible it is and what a tragedy it is. And I'm sitting there thinking, woe to you who call good evil and evil good. What a backwards world we live in.
Yeah, that's right. And by the way, there are a lot of newspapers that have publishers or the spouse of publishers that contribute to Planned Parenthood. Now, Planned Parenthood is one of the biggest lying organizations in the country. First of all, they claim that none of the money they get from the government goes into abortions. Well, you know, if you give me an amount of money equivalent to my mortgage and I buy food with it instead, it simply frees up more money for the mortgage. I mean, this is ridiculous. And Planned Parenthood is an evil organization. It was founded by Margaret Sanger, who was a eugenicist, who was a white supremacist, who was a favorite of Hitler. I mean, you could go on and on. Of course, the media never report that because they have a different agenda. But we need to be talking about that sort of thing. And, you know, if you ever confront a Planned Parenthood official on television, you need to be bringing that up. And I would ask, well, do you reject the principles of Margaret Sanger? Do you think she was wrong to be a eugenicist and a racist? Do you think she was wrong to advocate a purebred humanity that caught the attention of Adolf Hitler? Make them answer those questions. But nobody on CNN will ever ask them, of course.
I think what we're kind of getting at here is really this idea that language matters, because I see from these evil organizations like Planned Parenthood that they twist language. They say things like, you know, women's health care instead of what it is, abortion, or they say, they don't say baby, they might say fetus or tissue. How can we combat that? Is it just a matter of more clear language?
Right. Well, partially, yes. But then I think of the pictures, the sonograms, as I said, and I think we need to confront the secular progressives on their own territory. Some years ago, I had a debate on this issue with Eleanor Smeal, who was then the head of the National Organization for Some Women at the University of Maryland. We had about 3,000 people. People thought, oh, this guy's religious. He's conservative. Therefore, he must be an idiot and have no sense of humor. So in the middle of the debate, I turned to Ellie and I said, now, Ellie, I'm going to make you a deal tonight. I said, I'll come out for the status quo, Roe versus Wade. I'll never argue against it again on one condition. And she said, what's that? And I said, that you come out for full disclosure for women. Well, you're implying women aren't smart enough to figure this out for themselves. I said, okay. Now, you know, we have truth in labeling laws that by federal law require certain information on the labels of any bottle, pan, or package or can that you buy at the supermarket. So women should be smart enough to figure out what's inside those products. So let's just take the labels off. And then when they go to apply for a loan at the bank, let's get rid of that truth in lending law. They don't need to know what the percentage of the interest rate is or what happens if they don't pay it back. Women should be smart enough to figure this out on their own. And so she said, well, so you're exaggerating. I said, well, no, see, if you refuse that, Ellie, then you're a censor. Now, what something happens when you call a liberal a censor. The veins begin to stand out on their neck, and they sweat a lot, and their face turns red. But I think, you know, we have the truth on our side. We certainly have the creator of life on our side, and we just need to take the argument to the other side. I mean, how many, what is it, 60 million now abortions in this country? One of the reasons the left wants to import more illegal immigrants is because there aren't enough native-born Americans now to fill the jobs that that need to be filled. So I would simply take the argument to the other side. And also I'd say that, you know, this is a form of black genocide because the abortion rate within the African-American community is astronomical. We ought to be accusing the other side, the so-called pro-choice, of being racist. Let's take some of their language and labeling and turn it around on them and see how they react.
As you debate, you do these debates and you're on TV, you're interacting with folks that are pro-choice. What are the biggest myths that you're trying to dispel, that the pro-life movement needs to dispel?
Well, look, first of all, here's what I start with. I've been doing this for over 30 years in these fundraisers and pro-life and pregnancy help center events. I try to understand where the woman is coming from first. I don't attack her. I don't judge her. I don't pretend to be holier than she is. And in almost every case that I've discovered where the woman is honest, she has had one or more abortions herself, and the circumstances of them have been the husband left, there was an abusive relationship, something along those lines. And if you take the time to understand how the person came to the point of view that she's come to, it gives you a certain ability to then speak to her or him, if it is a pro-choice man, but it works better with the women because they're the ones, of course, who get pregnant. It gives you an ability, I think, to communicate with them on another level. Now, I think we ought to do this incrementally. We're not going to overturn Roe versus Wade overnight. But I do think that there are some pro-choicers even out there who would make some concessions and compromises. For example, no abortion allowed in the last in the ninth month. Let's start there, because the left always argues, well, you know, are you against abortion for rape and incest? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Would you be against it at the moment of birth? In other words, when the child is emerging from the birth canal, would you be opposed to forceps being put around its head and the brain extracted from it? So let's start at that end first before we get to the other end. Now, they're caught in a position then. If they say, no, I'd be against that, then you would have to ask why. Well, okay, if you don't want it right then, how about 5 minutes before that? How about a day before? How about a week before? And you push them to what the late philosopher, theologian Francis Schaeffer said, to the logical conclusion of their presupposition. And then when they say, well, stop, that's far enough, you say, based on what? The Gallup poll? Your personal feelings? How do we establish a standard for life apart from the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and, if you will, God himself, who is the author of life? If you read Jeremiah 1, Psalm 139, and the wonderful moment where Mary, the mother of Jesus, meets her cousin Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist, and Elizabeth says the wonderful words, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? Not fetal Lord, not potential Lord, but existing at that very moment, Lord.
You know, one of the great examples of what you just said is when Marco Rubio was interviewed by Chris Cuomo on CNN, and he just took it to its logical conclusion and stepped him all the way back from 9 months to conception, and it was awesome. So look up that clip and watch him just destroy Chris Cuomo on CNN.
Yeah, that's I want to make it.
It's so good. One quick plug. We got, unfortunately, head to a break, but your book, What Works, Common Sense Solutions for a Stronger America, in it you hit on a lot of different issues, but two of the ones that I think apply a lot to what we talked about today. You had one on sex and one on the family, really diving deep into how basically sex has been distorted through the Playboy culture and beyond, and what that's led to. And then my logical conclusion from there is the breakdown of the family, the increase in divorce, single-parent households, and then from there what that does to society. So I think this all is tied together really well, and you do a very good job of it in that book.
Well, you're very kind. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, again, we're thrilled to have you on the show today, and we're looking forward on June 7th to seeing you here in Des Moines at the InterVisions Gala.
Excellent. Me too. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Cal, thanks so much. We're going to head to a short break, and when we return, we'll have Brian Gonzalez on from InterVisions Healthcare.
My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You can't.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautschke.
Present.
Arguably the most famous person we've ever interviewed.
Probably.
Most definitely the largest national reach of anyone we've
absolutely
ever interviewed.
Where are we going now? Yeah, Pope Francis?
Well, Brian Gonzalez.
Oh.
Which is the other direction.
Which is the other direction, but...
He's a friend of the show.
Friend of the show, local celebrity. I consider him a local Catholic.
Yeah.
Benedictine celebrity.
I don't know about celebrity.
Dominican.
Local.
Benedictine?
Yeah, I'm a Benedictine.
So, yeah. There you go. You're a celebrity in that circle.
Cool.
Brian. We've had you on before to talk about InterVisions. Give us an update on everything going on there and talk to us about the gala. I'm obviously on board with the gala.
I will be
there. We're signing autographs.
We're pro-gala.
Very pro-gala. And I mentioned this last time, but this is because of my job, I go to a lot of different dinners, whether like this Catholic or American Heart Association or whatever it is. You guys run the best gala every year.
Well, I appreciate
that. Time-wise, message-wise, it's awesome.
Yeah, so, we want to be respectful of people's times and things like that. But, so thanks for having us on. Thanks for interviewing Cal. We're really excited to bring him to Des Moines. I think, you know, bringing a national speaker like him of his caliber, he's clever. You heard from the interview. He's clever, witty, and very intelligent, cerebral. And so we're excited to have him. Great, passionate Christian and a pro-life supporter. And so we're delighted to have him. But I wanted to share with you a few updates about the clinic. A couple of weeks ago, our new executive director started. Her name is Teresa Welch. And so she'll be at the gala, and you'll be able to meet her and things like that. So for listeners out there who have supported InterVisions for a while, if you want to come by the clinic and meet her or get another tour, we'd love to see new faces again and see old faces again and new faces.
Does she know what she should be preparing for? It's one of the 650 people.
It's a big deal. It's big time.
She's probably more prepared for that than the morning show with John Leonetti.
Okay.
So
does she think that's a big deal? That's not a big deal.
You don't have to prepare to be on John Leonetti's show.
We'll go to the Man Up show and put her through the gauntlet here.
That's right. That's right.
So how many babies are we at, did you say?
Yeah, so number of mothers that we've empowered since the clinic doors opened just under 7 years ago is on the cusp of 650.
Man. Awesome.
So I just think of how many towns in the state of Iowa are smaller than that.
Wow.
You're talking about how many schools are fewer
you
than that.
Get
so
that
we're
number.
Saving. Yeah. We're saving whole towns. We're saving whole schools.
That's
nurses
amazing. Where do these expectant mothers come from? Is it mostly Iowa?
Well, certainly mostly Iowa. I'd say a large portion come from Polk County. But we have a map in the clinic with pins from the zip codes, and each pin represents a zip code.
Cool.
And it's covered. I mean, you got people from all over the state, which some people think, well, why are they going to come from 2 hours away? Well, if you're in a small town, you don't want to go to your clinic where everybody knows you, and by the end of the day, everyone's going to know that you're unexpectedly pregnant.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share with you real quick. We just recently had a wonderful story of a woman who came in for an ultrasound. She's 25. She heard about InterVisions through the internet. She has two other kids, eight and two. She had recently separated from her boyfriend, the father of the two other children, and she had had relations with another man, so she didn't know who the father of the baby was, which is one of the reasons why she came. Unfortunately, due to we don't do paternity tests, and we also we couldn't really give her an idea of dating based on who it was because the dates were too close. But she was clearly she had sort of emotional. She was very she was kind of embarrassed by the fact that she had relations with another person, not the father, and so she felt guilt. And so our nurse compassionately shared with her that you need to forgive yourself in order to move on. That was sort of a really important part of that visit. Well, she was 18 weeks when she came in. She got the ultrasound. She saw the baby's beautiful face, the limbs, the beating heart, and she stared long and hard at that ultrasound. She ended up leaving the clinic, and it's our standard operating procedure to follow up with the patient, and we couldn't touch base with her. And so she was still very much leaning towards terminating the pregnancy when she left our clinic, but we really wanted to follow up on the very last phone call that we would have made before we closed the case. We got in touch with her. She said she was parenting.
Wow.
And so that was baby number 642 or something.
Beautiful.
So if you like that story, you want to hear more about it, and 600 other stories
just like it.
Come to the InterVisions Gala Thursday, June 7th. Again, Father Zach and I will be in the back having a drink and signing autographs. Absolutely.
That's at the Holiday Inn Airport.
Yeah,
and
visit the website ivhcare.org/2018gala and sign up online, or give us a call, 440-2273, and we'll take care of it for you.
Brian, thank you for joining us, and thank you all for joining us again today on Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. For Father Zach Kautsky, I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.